Good morning. My name is Cindy. I'm from Revere. I'm a grateful recovering addict in recovery today. Thank you, God, because of this program. I'm passing my pictures, and it's really an honor to be here this morning because 21 years ago, I walked into this program at 235 pounds, and I was the most desperate, helpless, hopeless individual, angry because I was fat. I wanted my drug. I had problems. I wanted everything to be resolved, and I was a victim of my own making, believe it, in many, many ways. And I didn't know how to ask for help because where I came from, asking for help was a sign of weakness, you know, but my disease in one way has given me a gift, not only in a higher power, in an incredible relationship with the fellowship and the study of the 12 steps. I came in at 28, and God bless me. I did not have a weight problem as a child, but I can certainly identify that I had the emotional and the spiritual bankruptcy. I grew up in a family of 9 children. I was the first girl. My father was an alcoholic and a gambler. My mother has this disease. Thank you, God, she's in this recovery today. And my grandfather died because of this disease. His fear, doubt, insecurity, he had his own hotel in the Back Bay with my grandmother. But because of his situation, he would work at nighttime, and he would come home and he would eat, and he died in his sleep because of this disease, eating sugar and flour substance. And as a child, as I stated, I didn't have the physical disease, but food was a very important thing in my home because there was 11 of us. My father was in construction, so during the seasonal time, like this time of the year, he couldn't work outside. So I don't know what it was. It's like when he shared about the finances and, you know, not working and things, it's like it just put a strain on the family, and it's like my antennas went up about food. You know, food was so important. I used to always be there helping my mother, you know, cooking stuff, and I would put stuff in my mouth. I eating it raw, cooking it, taking it out of the pot, you know, helping my mother with my sisters and brothers. I mean, we ate in shifts. The big kids ate with my father at nighttime, and, like, I would clean up, and I would just inhale it. You know, it's like I didn't know how to chew or eat food properly until I came into this program. I just, like, sucked it down. And, you know, and then when the little kids ate, you know, they play with their food more or they don't eat it. And it's like there was a second chance. And, you know, as a young kid, I learned from growing up in that home how to be a young entrepreneur in my own way. Like the kids used to drop the change for milk money in the grate yards. Well, I used to be creative. I'd take a stick of bubble gum on a stick, put it down the grates, and I'd buy penny candy. That's the era that I came from. There's no such thing as penny candy today. You know, I would babysit the people. I would clean their house. I'm coming from an era where there was no polyester. You know, I ironed for a woman that had 5 sons, and that's when kids had to wear a button-down cotton shirt to school. They couldn't go to school with, you know, sweatshirts and the things they wear today. But that's what I did. And all that money that I got from cleaning and babysitting, I went to the candy store. You know, I remember my jaws were always going. And, you know, there were things that happened in my childhood. I had a lot of losses. You know, this time of the year is my father's anniversary. He's 20 years past. Thank you, God. He had AA under his belt. He died sober. My mother's mother was like my real surrogate mother. Because my mother had one child after another. She didn't have time for me. So it's 40 years that she's gone. And, you know, these people played a significant role in my life. And today I know without a doubt that I have allergies to sugar and flour in quantities. And I also have allergies to dairy. So I've had to make a lot of modifications in my program. I didn't get abstinent until April of 85. That's my true, clear abstinence. You know, I had to do my research. I had to come into these halls. I had to hear about the addiction. I had to hear about the unmanageability of people's lives. And you could actually say that I would sit in these rooms for an hour and a half, and that information penetrated my brain because I had such a level of denial. Like, I didn't want to hear that I had a problem with food. I didn't want to hear that my life was unmanageable. See, in my profession, I crunch numbers, so I figured that my life should be that way. There should be a start, and there should be a finish, and everything should be in black and white. And I could not get to the other side, you know? And I went to a few sponsors, and you know, this program is not about religion, but it's, to me, it's about spirituality, and it's really helped me go back and reclaim my religion in a way that it's not religion today, it's more spirituality. And as a young girl, of course, I dribbled into smoking cigarettes. I had a short-term experience with drugs in high school, but I had the fear of God in me because of my father, because he raised me with guilt and shame, so I didn't want to come home and bring that embarrassment upon my family. My father and mother separated when I was in my senior year of high school, and that was back in 1972, and that was when, like, Vietnam was still going strong. And I married my high school sweetheart, and I spent 3.5 years in the Marine Corps. And I was married for about just a year, and I became pregnant with my son. And this is when my disease took off. You know, I had that mentality that I'm eating for two, and I was away from home. I was in a new work environment. And, like, the food became so important. And, of course, I had morning sickness, but that didn't stop my eating. You know, like, once I got those saltine crackers down, I was off and running. And I had this obsession that I had to have certain things every day. And I'm Irish Catholic descent, but you think I had a little Italian in me, because every day I had to have macaroni and hot peppers and an orange. Don't ask me that. And I wonder why my son likes spicy food today. But, you know, I was like, my first pregnancy, I was just right out there. I think I put on, I could say I was about 100, between 115 and 120 when I got married. And I think I was like 180 when I delivered him. And that's a lot of weight. That's like 60 pounds on this body. I lost all the weight, but, you know, my lifestyle, I had the opportunity in that 3.5 years to live in North Carolina, South Carolina. I had the option of living in Japan for 3 months, and that was a wonderful experience. And as a compulsive overeater, you know, what's the first thing I zone in on is their bakeries. You know, I want to see it. I want to taste it, make the comparison to the States here. You know, of course, going to the PX and the commissary, it didn't matter that, you know, we were on a limited income. You know, I always had to have my fix. I lost all my weight from my first child, and after 3.5 years, we came back to the Chelsea area because that's where my children's father's from. And because of my fear of insecurity, I went to work. You know, I went to work. My son wasn't even 2 years old, and I went to work in the food industry, and I worked for a poultry supplier that supplied all Chinese restaurants throughout the New England area. Well, you don't have to have an imagination. When those truck drivers came back, they used to feel sorry for me. They used to give me shopping bags. Well, you know, I was eating from the time I hit that office until the time I left, and driving home and eating. And, like, I used to complain to my husband, like, I'm getting heavy. I was going, like, from a 9-10 to, like, an 18 and, like, in a matter of 2 years. And I'm saying, like, where's this weight coming from? But I could not identify the hand-to-mouth syndrome. I could not. I was smoking on top of that. I started socially drinking. You're looking at a person that started drinking beer and wine, and before you know it, I was drinking scotch and cognac and champagne, you know? It's like, you know, looking for the hit to take the edge off of life. And my eating just took off. I had my second child, and that's when my disease really, really hit the roof. Most women, after they have a baby, they want to lose weight. I went into a depression, whatever you want to call it, that I just kept on eating. And it was only through this program that I had a woman that was a daycare provider from Chelsea, and she was in the program, and I used to go there and climb her stairs with the diaper bag on my daughter in my arms and complain about my weight. And she brought me to the meetings. And, you know, my codependency was such that I wanted her to take me under her wing and fix me and take care of me. And she said, no, I'm going to bring you to meetings. And, you know, I'm extremely grateful for her opportunity to bring me to this program, because I had to come, I had to do my research, I had to hear what this program was all about. In the process of my recovery, I had the opportunity to move to Medford and build my own home. And unfortunately, from being around family members, I had to go through a very difficult time in my marriage with my children. My daughter was sexually abused by a family member. My son, we weren't sure, but he was also hospitalized at McLean Hospital and lived in our residential. And, you know, I have to say, when I went through that time period, the only thing that kept me going was this program. I was in my meetings and my AWOL, and it kept me grounded. And, you know, I had that guilt and shame as a mother going out when I was in program in my earlier days before these things happened about leaving my children. But I always heard the message that you will be a better mother because you're abstinent. You will be a better mother when you go home and you're there for your children, because when the sugar and the flour and the quantities own you, you're not there for yourself, you're not there for your family. In my mindset, I can tell myself anything. You know, I can be up here and orchestrate anything, but what I demonstrate and what my credibility is totally something else. Well, that had a profound effect on my marriage. My marriage broke down. We went into extreme amount of couple therapy, family therapy, and what have you. And, you know, what ended up happening, I had to, you know, I just had to leave the marriage. I tried to stay in it 10 years after these things happened, and I went back to school. I had gone back to school off and on throughout the years from 1978 until the late 80s, and I just said, I just can't do this anymore, because I had a partner that wasn't growing with me. I had two children that were growing up, and my daughter was 16 when I decided to and resolve the marriage. And my son, you know, they're 7 years apart, so he's 23, and I'm saying, like, what kind of role models are we? You know, like, when I left that hospital, my mindset was, and I got so much acknowledgement from the hospital and the psych nurses and the doctors, like, you're the most important role model in their life for both your children, and you're responsible for their life, not only academically, but emotionally, and in all different areas. And, like, I didn't feel like I was on a crusade, but I knew where I came in my childhood. I knew what happened in my marriage. It wasn't about shame. It wasn't about blame. It wasn't about all this stuff. It was just like picking up the pieces and trying to do the right thing. And I had gone to a point there. In my recovery, I went outside OA. I went to adult children. I went to Al-Anon. I went to CODA. I went to all these different programs, trying to constantly, you know, work at being a better person, being a better partner. But I just had to let go. And after 26 years, I just said, you know, this is going to affect my abstinence, and I needed to move on. So, you know, my daughter decided to stay with her father. And if anybody's gone through divorces, you know, it's a real legal battle to break up a home and break up your, you know, dissolve your assets and everything. And I had to leave a beautiful home and go into a studio apartment. And then shortly after that, I've gone through two back surgeries. And I can tell you, I went in, and the most important thing I could do for myself is to bring my literature and my food. And before I went into the hospital, I always made sure my food was made for at least 5 days. So when I came home, food was not an issue for me. I could just take care of myself. You know, I didn't have to do heavy medications. I've worked with a renowned surgeon that does my microsurgery on backs. He invented microsurgery, and he said, you are a gift to operate on because you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't drug, you're not overweight. I don't have to worry about putting you under and worrying about what's going to happen to you on the table. And, you know, to go in to have major surgery and walk out a day later, you know, and then to go back, like, to work, like, it's just been incredible. And, you know, I just equate that this recovery process has given me so many things. I mean, I've moved on to a condo that didn't work out. Then I bought a townhouse, and I've had the opportunity to go back and finish my schooling. Because of things that gone on in my childhood, I had a lot of issues with schooling. So I had to get extra help going to college. I had to get over that shame factor. But I could walk from my associates. I could walk from my bachelor's degree. And you know what? I didn't have any family members there at my graduation. But you know what? God was there. God was there, and I knew this is what I needed to do for myself. My daughter's been after me for the last 4 years to get involved in a business. And it's this past June I went into a business with her. And it's the most empowering thing I ever did. I had an opportunity 3 years ago to go to Europe. I never thought that I could go to Europe and be abstinent. I said to my sister, I need rice milk. So she went to the commissary because her husband was in the Air Force, and she brought me a case. You know, and like I went there and I said, this is the most important thing, is to maintain my abstinence. I said, if I come to Europe for 2 weeks, I have to go to Rome. So we went to Rome. I said, we need a refrigerator in the room. And I took 2 meals a day. I had my breakfast in the morning, and I carried my lunch, and I had 1 meal out. And if anybody can be abstinent in Italy, I can, you can. I went to Belgium. Needless to say, that's chocolate and lace capital of the world, right? I went there absently. I came back absently. You know what? I can tell you, I paid $6 in American dollars, in Euro dollars, to get a cup of coffee, but it was worth it, and it was decaf. You know what I mean? Because these were the things that I could walk through, the Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, Italy, you know, fly all over there and be abstinent. You know, I didn't have to worry. My biggest fear was when I was coming back to Amsterdam and they were going through my luggage, I said, what are they going to think about when they see my scale? That was the only concern I had. You know, and then I didn't realize, because I haven't had the experience of flying back into this country, that you can't bring food in. Like, you can eat it on the plane, but you can't bring fresh fruit. And, of course, my thing is, you can't throw nothing away. So I was thinking, well, I got the rice milk. That's all set. You know, I could bring that back, but I can't bring any salad, anything. Because my mind is thinking, well, I get the six-hour flight coming back, you gain the time in this country. Like, at least I'll have my supper with me. So when I get home and unpack and you're tired, what have you, I won't have to deal with a meal. You know what? Throw it away. It isn't worth it. You know, how important is it? The slogans that I've learned in this program and to apply them in my life is just incredible. I mean, I've gone through major losses. I lost my brother 5 years ago through lung cancer. I lost my boss in 2002 through breast cancer. I mean, I've gone through, like, so many changes. And the greatest gift is, through this horrendous divorce and 8 years of being away from my family, my daughter has come back into my life, because, you know, kids are affected by divorce. And, like, today we can be mother and daughter. Today we can be business partners. Today she can bring her boyfriend into my home. You know, and I respect their boundaries, you know. And all I can simply say, if you're new in this program or you're having any problems with the food, the more honest you get with yourself and the more you take care of yourself, the better off you'll feel. You know, I can't go out and buy this abstinence. I can't go out and buy this recovery. I will tell you, ever since I came into OA, I did one AWOL after another. I have been given the gift through a dear friend to co-lead 3 AWOLs in a row. I've been given the gift of being maintenance AWOLs. I've continued doing outside work. I just finished a woman's group on self-esteem and to really put a value on myself, you know. I mean, I can stand here and put on a suit and fix the hair and the makeup and the whole thing, but I'm an inside job, and this is what this program's all about, to get on my knees in the morning, surrender my will to God, take my quiet time, have my food written down the night before, and take care of myself. I'm going to someone's house today for dinner, and I already weighed and measured all my vegetables and my fruit. You know, all I have to do is just have a little bit of protein, you know, and it's not about food today. Today for me is giving Thanksgiving to a very dear friend that lost her mother that doesn't have family. Last night I spent some time with someone that was in this program that lost family. You know, and it's like, this is the time of the year that I look upon, like, thank you, God, that I live in the Northeast, because my heart was broken this morning when I was watching TV at 5 o'clock, getting the update on the news and the weather, and thinking about those poor souls down the south. They don't have a home. They can't sit down with their families for Thanksgiving. And I said, my problems are luxuries, you know, and just come here and do this. Like, this is where it starts, you know. This is really where it starts for me, is having a gift of gratitude, because that's what this program has taught me. Always have a grateful heart, and you won't want to eat. I've learned today to address my issues, ask God for help, and wait and trust the process. And that's the area where I've really had to grow up. I've really had to grow up in this program. So thank you for your time, and I hope you have a lovely holiday. Thank you.